more of that sort of thing.
Exactly. We do. I mean, people don't realize it, but we do.
Push comes to shove, I'll go to the church.
Exactly. Yeah.
If I can't get to the Presbyterian church,
I go right out there. You know, we can go almost anywhere you are.
Yeah.
But in Belton Chapel, see an Irishman cook?
No, it's Ace McAlpin, and I think he's from Texas, and he's coffee money.
Being coffee bean money out of South Carolina.
No, I don't.
Who knows? I mean,
that's... Well, there are four yearlings in the face, except in July, sale by Majestic Perfection. The brilliant grade one winner with blinding speed. First foal's 2-year-olds, and they're coming out running. His first winner is It's Free. He captured a maiden special Gulfstream on June 1. Then Homer Matt, in his first start, placed in the $125,000 Santa Anita Juvenile. Two more finished second in their career debut. Majestic Perfection won grade one stakes in Saratoga. 6 furlongs, 108-3. Won another stakes at 6 furlongs in record time, 107-1. Went 3/4, 108-1 at Oaklawn, and 108-3. Few were his equal. In fact, he was never beaten on a fast track, and Steve Asmussen described him as the fastest horse he had ever seen. Son of the top sire, Harlan's Holiday, Majestic Perfection, stands amidst the Mrs. Burr and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Watch for his yearly at the major sales, and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Got on a little late, huh? I'll deduct it off the bill.
You don't get away with that.
Good morning, and it's a gorgeous day here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clockard Stand, and they're all as quiet right now. They're having a renovation break, and all hell will break loose here in about a half an hour.
I'll go out and help them.
Yeah, Jackie will have to go out and help Clock, I guess. Although,
a blessing to the listener.
Pardon?
I said a blessing to the listener.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
As soon as she does that, the ratings go up.
That's right.
Anyway, well, there's a new trainer out here named Josh Flores. And I never met Josh, but they were telling me about him up here a couple of weeks ago. So I gave him a call to see if I could get him on the show this week. Well, Josh couldn't come up, but I came up with somebody that I've known for a couple of years. He probably won't claim it, but we go back further more than a couple of years. And it turns out that Josh is training some horses for a client of his, and that's Finn Green. And I've known Finn since, gosh, Finn, how long now? I mean, we go back a ways.
40 years or so, I guess, Herschel.
Are you that old?
Yeah.
Because I was just a young man.
Right, yeah. Well, but I remember you when I was young.
Yeah. And I see I'm not going to get the best
one of those,
right away.
One of those kids that grew up at the supper table and everybody had to hush because Daddy hadn't listened to the results. There were a lot of those kids.
Well, we had a lazy Susan in the middle of our table, and you had to grab the food pretty quick as it went around, too.
Oh, funny. Yeah, know, there you go.
While we were listening to the results.
Yeah. Well, Ben is, like I say, been around, been with horses all his life. Was born right over here. I guess your dad was working at Green Tree when you were born.
Actually, the night my family moved from Mr. Gluck's Elmendorf farm over to the Whitney and Payson Green Tree farm, I was born that night.
Is that in route?
Well, actually, mom did go to the hospital, and I think everything else moved forward. Yeah, I went from one side of the Paris Pike to the other.
Well, yeah, it did move very far.
3rd of September in 58.
Yeah. You grew up on Green Tree.
Grew up on Green Tree. It was 800 acres then. And, we had the Elkhorn Creek. It was like Disney World for horses. Unbelievable horses and unbelievable horsemen. Grew up around some of the greatest horses and greatest horsemen, you know, I think, in the industry.
Yeah. Who was his stud, Dave? Tom Fool was there when you were there. No.
Well, Tom Fool was there. He was by Me Now. Me Now is named after my mother, who used to wait to sit in her dad's lap. She was one of 6 children, and when it got to be her time, she would say, Me Now, Daddy, Me Now.
Okay.
Well, that's cute. I always wondered where that came from.
Well, that would be his grandfather, is Hal Praisieder. So
one of the founders of Pat's my mom. But Tom Poole was there, who, of course, sired Buck Passer. Stage Door Johnny was there in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. Key to the Mint, Arts and Letters, the Rokeby Stable Horses, yeah. Mr. Miller Train. The Axe was there.
Oh, then I thought he went to Duval.
Well, he
ended up at Duval.
Well, went from Duval's to Green Tree and back. Ended up over actually at Gainesway after the Bex.
Is that right? I didn't realize he moved there. I always give credit to Doobie.
Doobie was a great card. Now I'll tell you that.
Oh, I've got some stories about Doobie.
Yeah,
Doobie. He bred let me tell you this one real quick. He bred something to win a stake down at Oklahoma by a really bad horse, you know, off-bred kind of horse.
Right.
And I saw him, you know, at the Thoroughbred Club, and I said, Mr. Healy, what in the world were you doing breeding with that horse? He says, Ursula. He says, I spent burning the midnight oil figuring out that made him get that stake. Turned out he bought the Marin Foal.
That sounds like Dewey.
Yeah.
I've heard some great stories about him. Fantastic stories. Yeah,
probably all of them true.
Well, maybe there's some stretching of that, but yeah.
Well, that's all right. When you get to be our age, nobody knows the difference anyway. You know, yeah. We can just lie about the all the hell. I got to be 20 years older than you, or 30 maybe.
Well, I was born in 58. I don't know what you're going to say.
You were born in Tim Tam's year, and I was born in 20 grand.
Well, and 20 grand was buried at Green Tree. He was pensioned out there with Shutout. We had a group of horses down there when I was a kid that we called the Gas House Cat.
Yeah.
Unbelievable group of horses that were turned out and pensioned down on the Elkhorn Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those were two of them. I think St. German's had been in there, and so had Capot.
He was a St. German's too, I think, or either out of, or might have been out of a St. German's mare.
I'm not sure.
Because they both had the same St. German's disease. They were Shy breeders.
Yeah. And then we had some other shy breeders over there at Green Tree, who was Pleasure. He wasn't a shy horse, but he was a shy breeder, Mr. Greer's horse. He was fertile.
Fertility.
Oh, okay. Well, shy,
Tom Fool was the most ambitious horse when it came to sex.
And Foolish Pleasure got thrown off when it rained. He was just one of those he was a sensitive breeder.
Take him out and look under a tree or something.
Then we had Stop the Music was there, and his half brother Hatchet Man.
Okay.
They
ended up at Gainesway, didn't they? Stop the Music did.
I believe so. We were, I left Green Tree when I was 18. Mom and Dad stayed there, but they'd started their own place called Hardboot around that time.
Right over
near station on a little road called Stewart. It was on the Bourbon County Fayette County line.
Yeah.
Yeah, raised some nice horses over there. A horse called Kate Playhouse, as I remember. He was by Stage Door Johnny and a filly called Free Again. One of them was out of Tom Fool mare called Matushka.
Uh-huh.
Great big old mare who was out of Bascope, who was by Helioscope.
Uh-huh.
Some of those great families from Green Tree. Our house was right down the hill from the Foaling Barn, and I was raised in the Foaling Barn at Green Tree.
That's nice.
It was unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. The stalls were about 24 by 24. I was a kid when Stop the Music was foaled, and I was in the stall that night, and remember having Travis and was in there with Lawrence and Gip Green, and remember having the opportunity to grab him by the pasterns and pull him out of his mother when I was a kid. It's a great deal.
That is a great deal. Yeah, because I grew up right up the creek on Dixieana, you know. That's right.
Right.
Another fairy tale place.
Unbelievable place.
Well, growing up on farms like Green Tree, and it's fantastic where to grow up. You know, I mean, it was, you know, wonderful, you know, that. It was, I know, it's still home to me, you know, Dixieana is, you know. Did you ever go back and look at the old graveyard over there and everything?
I have, and Anthony Beck and Michael Hernan have been very kind to me over the years because that was my home, yeah. And have allowed me to go on the bridge over the Elkhorn Creek towards the back of the Green Tree property. That was it's a lovely place. It's a really spiritual place. I remember going there when I was a kid and getting crawdads. I'd catch them on a string with a hot
looking
dog.
For sunfish and yeah, you got crawdads.
Exactly. That's about like the horse business is, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, you get crawdads most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But they allowed me to go back there, and I haven't been over in several years, but they've been very, very kind to me.
I've been threatening to get over there, that and the Whitney graveyard over there, too. I called Neil one day and he said, well, you let me know and, you know, we'll get somebody to take you around.
That'd be really neat. You know, yeah. I'd love to go over there with you. La Troy Inn was buried at Green Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. All ought to go together because you fill in gaps. That would
Equipoise is over there.
Equipoise
is buried right over here at the old Whitney Farm, which is now part of Gainesway. Well, regret, for God's sakes, is buried there.
Exactly. You know, I mean, there's some great markers around this area for fabulous horses. I'm thinking right now about Ornament, the horse that my great-grandfather had. I believe he's buried over off of Harrodsburg Road, where Mom's childhood home was, where South Creek Coal is now by Turfland. Ornament's great horse. He shows up 6 or 7 times in the pedigree of Escondarea.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken, he's back in there 6 or 8, quite a bit.
Well, let me interrupt you a minute. I got to pay some bills, and I want to talk to more. I'm talking with Finn Green here. Well, Carl, before you were son of First Samurai and size of 3-year-old Philip of First Samurai, shipped in to capture the 2 big races at Prairie Meadows last Saturday. Both were bred by Clayton Farm and Dale Deal Schneider. Carl, trained by Brad Cox, won his previous start on May 15 at Churchill, and his win in the Grade 3 $300,000 Cornhusker boosted his earnings to over $562,000. He previously had placed in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, the Grade 3 Oakland Handicap, the Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby, and the Long Branch at Mama, and the $200,000 Zia Park Derby. Size, trained by Bill Mott, has posted 3 wins and a 2nd 4 starts. She won her first 2 at Gulfstream at Ann Aqueduct and ran 2nd in the Jersey Girl Stakes at Belmont on May 25. She then won the Grade 3 $200,000 Iowa Oaks for Samurai. This is a sire of 5 other 2014 stakes winners, including Last Gunfighter. He's accumulated earnings of over $1,140,000 now. And Grade 1 winner Lee and Apropos, winner of the Oklahoma's American Beauty Stakes and placing Grade 1 stake. And Northern Passon, who won in July 1 of the $100,000 Sweetbriar 2 stakes up at Woodbine. First Samurai is a proven sire, Grade 1 sire. So take a good look at his yearlings at the major sales. He stands over at Claiborne Farm. And for more on the Claiborne stand, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 859-252-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Oh, it's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially with insurance. We moved to Bourbon County a long time ago. We had friends. Well, Teddy Custer's father-in-law recommended 2 things. He said First Presbyterian Church and Hopewell Insurance Company. So that's where we went, just like he told us.
Not necessarily in that order.
No. But that was 26, 28 years ago. They've been taking care of us both places ever since. Hopewell Company has a long experience working with horse farms, racing stables, and they cover home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability. And they're always right there. A couple of years ago, it's been about a year and a half, I think, we got struck by lightning and singed every wire in that house. And the day after we called them, the day after they were over there, they fixed the whole thing and set it all up. And the next day, the electricians were in there rewiring the entire house. And all we had to pay was our deductible. And that's because, yeah. Well, and they're an independent insurance agency. You don't have to fight with the insurance company to get paid. They work for us and the insurance company. They're good. They want to keep their client. They want to keep Hopewell. They want to keep us, and they take care of it real quick. So contact the Hopewell company. They're prepared to provide you no cost, no obligation review and comparison of what insurance you have now. That's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347, or in Lexington, 254-2431. You'll get great service. I guarantee it.
Well, the Clay Ward Agency over in Paris, Kentucky, they've been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over 8 decades now. I know when my dad was managing Dixiana, for Mr. Charles C. Fisher. Now, this was back in the 1930s. He was doing business with the founder, Mr. James Clay Ward. He's gone now, of course, but the tradition of hard work and service and a thorough knowledge of the horse business is still carried on by Jack Parrish and Bruce Isaac and John Hess. So they do business with people who know what they're doing. Give them a call. The number over in Paris is 859-987-1861. Now, the Clay Ward Agency is very closely affiliated with Indian Creek Farm, also over in Bourbon County. And they've got a tradition, too. And their tradition for raising runners and selling top quality bloodstock at the major sale. There's going to be some broodmare sales coming up here pretty soon. I forget when the entries are, but pretty soon they close. So give them a call over at Indian Creek Farm. The number over there is 859-987-7443. Dr. Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan, and either one of them can they'd be glad to show you around, glad to take care of you. The website is IndianCreekKY.com. IndianCreekKY.com. Clay Ward Agency in Indian Creek, that's a couple of names you should be familiar with in the thoroughbred industry. All right, kind of talking over old times with Finn Green here. But, Finn, we've talked about a lot of old great horses now. You're involved with a pretty high-class horse yourself right now.
Oh, Mucho Macho Man, I guess. he's a fabulous horse. Actually, when he was sold, we sold a majority, the Reeves did, of Mucho Macho Man to Adina.
Uh-huh.
And during that transaction, I knew it was coming because, you know, horse was going to move on to stud at Adina. My relationship changed with him, and I was involved with him for 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
But that ended in March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You still advise back in advisory?
No, I don't.
Well, you do with some other people, and that's what you're doing now.
Yeah, I have a consulting and management company. That I've had for some time, and they were one of my clients, and one of the goals was to get the horse sold, and after he sold, you know.
Well, he's going to a good farm.
He's going to a great farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually have quite a few classic horses down there, Breeders' Cup Classic.
He'll be the fifth.
Yeah, Fort Lorne was the last one, and we ran second to him in 2012.
Yeah,
that was a great race. And Gary Stevens really figured something out with Mucho Macho Man in 2013, and we had a great opportunity with Gary and took advantage of it. And Gary's an unbelievable horseman.
Mm-hmm.
Gary figured out that, I was saying, Gary, you're going to have to get down on your belly with this horse. This horse will carry you, but you're going to have to carry him too. You're going to have to get down on your belly and ride him.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, if you don't mind, and I don't mean anything about anything that's happened in the past with him, but I believe I'm going to try and keep my whip in my hand and just show it to him. Because I think I watched him, he didn't say hang, but just not move forward, when the stick was getting on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, Gary tried that and he, awesome again, first time that he rode him and won the 4.5. We asked him to drive. He passed the line and he did. And then he said it was everything he could do not to hit him in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Is that right?
Yeah, he said it was everything he could do not to hit the horse in the Breeders' Cup
Classic. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Well, he rode him his last 4 or 5 starts, didn't he?
Gary's ridden him. He won on him in the Awesome Again, the Grade 1 Awesome Again, then the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, and then he won by 14 or 15 lengths in the Sunshine Millions in Florida, and then rode him the last time that the horse ran in the Santa Anita in the Big Cap.
I remember the horse, and he caught my attention before the Derby in his three-year-old year, and I watched him run on TV, you know, but... But he was just a dead game horse.
A horse that kind of reminds me of baseball player Lenny Dykstra. I mean, he was, he always gave you everything that he had. You know, he's a really good horse, but the quality that, you don't get in a lot of horses was his work ethic. And he was a dead game horse. I was the business developer for TaylorMade at that time, you know, and had been talking to the Reeves. Went to work for the Reeves after his Belmont race. And the horse was dead game, but he was dead tired after the Belmont. And we gave him a good break, and he came back and won a race in great style at Aqueduct. An allowance up there, almost in track record time and easy goer time. Great horse, neat horse. He was, he's a big horse. He was the kind of horse that you like that slept when he slept, worked when he worked, ate when he ate. Smart, he was patient. Stood him, you know, he'd stand on the racetrack for 15 or 20 minutes.
I've seen a lot of good horses that'll do that.
I had
a couple of bad ones that would do that.
I had a couple. You wish that's all you did with them were standing.
They were good standards.
Exactly. You know, people don't really understand that, you know, if we run 8 horses a race, that's about what we average. About 87.5% of all horses are slow.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, I mean, and only, you know, so you're batting. If you move that over into baseball terms, you know, as good as you can do is bat 125. And, you know.
Run them long. Train them long. Run them long.
Well, we've moved away from that, but I think that's a, you know, that's a great deal. I love two turn horses.
We had some slow ones.
We just made them so fit that everybody else is coughing it up after those nice long races.
Yeah.
And we might win it because we didn't get tired. We just kept pumping and pumping.
Mucho Macho Man was 1.25 mile, 2-turn horse, and he had a great deal of speed. You can go back and look at those 2 Breeders' Cup races, most of his races while I was with him. He was quick out of the gate and could have taken the lead. I believe you. Gary told me once that he thought he was the best miler he'd ever sat on. Now, we hadn't run the horse at a mile with Gary under him, but just Gary feeling him while he was in 1.25 mile, 1.25 mile races. That horse had, that goes back probably to Mr. Prospector, or Raisin Native actually through Mr. Prospector. He was 5x5 to Mr. Prospector.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he was inbred to Grey Dawn, too, a horse over there.
Jimmy Drummond.
What a sweet old horse he was. You could go up in the stall of Stallion. You could go up and hug him. He was the best temper.
Well, the stud tree they were getting for him, then I imagine Jimmy Drummond hugged him quite a bit.
He was a Herbergé horse, wasn't he?
No, Herbergé was down at Cleveland. I believe he was about the same age. I should remember what he's about, but I don't know. Jimmy, you know, syndicated.
Juan, great horse,
And Alatan.
Right, Alatab was that. Well, he was by the axe. Last living son of Mamu.
That was 3. He also syndicated No Double.
No Double was a great horse, but No Home, good grass horse.
Yes, but was not unpopular up here because of No Home. He went to Florida and topped the sire list, you know, when he after he left Jimmy.
Well, you know, I think we were going through a change in the industry back in the late 70s, early 80s, where we were moving away from two-turn horses to speed horses.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched the horses change over the years. You know, speed's a great thing, but it's also, I think it's caused us some troubles in our industry.
I think it has, too. And I think that, to me, now the most exciting races are the long grass races.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And, you know, I mean, we, back in the 70s, less than 15% of the horses were back in the knee. And now we've got, you know, about 80% of the horses. A lot of people got dulled themselves to think that they're straight kneed or flat kneed, but there's a lot of horses that are back in the knee, and it comes from, putting too much speed in.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, well, course, I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You can work around a lot of stuff, but you can't work around back at the knee.
Well, I mean, from our philosophy, you can't, but, you know, you see a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
I used to breed to cheap horses because that's all I could afford, and we raced them. And one of them was notorious for siring them back at the knee with Pago Pago down at Claiborne, and I got a really nice filly out of him.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I sold her to Alan Jerkins. And Alan won stakes with her. You know, if I trained her, we've been running river downs, you know.
We're fine.
But Alan took her up east and won stakes with me. But she didn't. She was a nice filly, nice big filly. It didn't look like Pago Pago though. It looked like a pair. But anyway, he's like I say, Alan did real well with her. I got to be pretty good friends with Alan.
Yeah, Mr. Jerkins is a great guy. Jimmy's done good with that horse, looking strong that they had. I think he's a hard spun horse, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Wicked strong, he is. But Jimmy learned a lot from his dad. Mr. Jerkins trained for Mr. Hubeck at Hobo Farms, right?
Elmer
Hubeck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
what a great organization.
Now, tell me a little bit. You say you got Josh Flores training some horses for you at one of your clients out here. Tell me a little bit about that.
Actually, my company has been hired as a consultant and a manager to a global company called ESSI, ESSI, Equine Sports Science Institute.
Okay.
It's formed with a group of people who happen to be horsemen. But they're also, the Australian in it is a sports physiologist. He's been in, horse training for about 30 years. There's a racetrack practitioner in New York who I believe is probably one of the best racetrack vets that we have, who's a horseman, a guy named Christian Ryder.
Okay.
He's involved in it. And they use, hello, Michael.
Hey, Sid.
You know Michael.
Oh, yeah, Michael.
Michael Blowing is on the scene.
Blowing's on the scene.
Yeah, really. The ratings have plummeted. They're plummeting now. The people said, why is he coming and interrupting such interesting conversation? I actually listened to the show on the way in to boost the ratings.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. I need both of them.
I need both of them.
We love Mucho Macho Man.
He's great.
The Reeds donated part of his Breeders' Cup earnings to us.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's really great.
It's Mr. Reeds, is he involved in that, trying to get racing into Georgia?
I think that they still are. Yeah, I think that they are. I was involved in that back in the late 70s and early 80s.
Wow.
I've been trying to get horse racing in Georgia for a long time.
They used to have it many years ago.
All right, and they still, I think they've got some standardbred stuff that goes on down there.
Yeah. I had, many years ago with flat racing, because I had an old friend, and he was 92 years old when I met him, and this was back in the 70s, and he got to talking about racing in Georgia one time, and he said, we were starving to death down there. He said, we wouldn't have made it except that we used to go to the chicken fights to get the losers.
Of course, Ratio Luro was down that way, you know, I think for quite some time, just north of Atlanta.
Well, Fred Hooper, and he was his farmer down there, wasn't he?
Fred, there in Florida, too.
Oh, right? Alabama. He was Alabama.
He was in Alabama.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another
you know, he never says you're right to me.
Because you never are.
He never says those two words I've never heard. Funny.
But Essie, Essie is an institute that I think is bringing sports science into the thoroughbred industry in a really productive way. They center most of their training around a high-speed treadmill that's on an incline. So it takes out a lot of the subjective errors that can occur in training, timing, some of the things that happen on the track. But they incorporate the treadmill with racetrack work, two-a-day exercises twice a day. Started pushing horses a little harder because they're able to handle it. You know, it's a really interesting science, and I'm
involved with that.
I'm glad to be involved with it. Yeah, they approached me about it because I'm a conventional and a traditional horseman.
Yeah.
But I've always been interested in science and actually quantifying what we always talk about.
Yeah.
To have hard evidence of what a horse is capable of, so you don't overtrain him or undertrain him, mm-hmm. that you optimize who that horse is, and they're focused on.
Going to have to interrupt you one more time here. Pay some bills.
Now he gets a smile on his face. Watch this.
Well, opportunities will arise at the important yearling sales this year for you to consider youngsters by first defense and mizzen mast. Keep in mind that both of the athletes demonstrated their ability to sire major stakes winners both in North America and abroad. First defense did so with his first stop to reach the races. His brilliant filly, Clovis Hatches, has won four Grade 1 stakes with an Eclipse Award finalist in 2013, and she's a leading contender for the Eclipse Award this year. And Dundonnell won group stakes in Great Britain, and in his lone start in the USA, was a competitive race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, finishing a game 4th of 14 after a trouble trip. Mizzen Mast has tried 6 Grade 1 stakes winners, and highly respected in Europe, where his Flotilla was named champion 2-year-old filly in France after winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Junior Fillies Turf. She came back at 3 last year and won the Classic Group 1 French 1000 Guinea. The bottom line is that first defense in Mizzen Mast is our runner of the highest quality. They stand at Judd Mont Farm. Encourage you, Garrett O'Rourke, and Fry, and see the website at JuddMont.com. Jackie's out there talking now, so I'm going to do this in car. I'm going to talk about my friends over at Sally Van Service. And I said, Michael, they're your friends at Sally Van Service.
Oh, are they ever? I don't know what we do without them, really.
I think they run a shuttle from here to Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
I believe that the Churchill plays for them.
They do. It's just phenomenal. It's not just the way they, you know, the professional way they handle the horses. The people that drive those horses, the drivers of those horses are really amazing.
Well, they're horsemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to be. And they
come to the farm and they'll, like, you know, Steve Wright, he used to work at Lane's End with Gulch, so every time he comes and brings another horse to us, he has to go stop by and see Gulch.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know Nicole. She comes from a horse family. Now, you have to go back to a great-grandfather because he was a fine man.
You're always doing that with the thoroughbreds. Why can't you do that?
Well, I'm off. You know, it's like these pedigrees. I recognize the third dam, but I don't. It's kind of strange on top, you know. But Nicole comes from a great family. That's Bruce is her dad, that's pure as a pious land, you know. And Bruce's father formed. After the World War II, he opened up the ranch right across from where the opera house is down there. And then Pappy, his daddy, he was my good buddy and good buddy my dad's. And he was a fine man, funny. You know, I loved him. Yeah, he was just a great guy.
We're so grateful to Nicole because they do a great job over there. And, you know, no matter, you know, sometimes I call them up and I'll say, well, I got 3 over here that need to go there. I'm a little reluctant. Your mic's over there. I can kind of see him through the phone with his eyes rolling back in his head. But anyway.
They're credit to the business.
They are amazing.
Yeah. Great institution.
Great institution. Really. Sally Van Service. Here's their number. Incidentally, they can, they build all their own trailers and everything over there, and they also service diesels and so forth, and service trailers. And take them over and they repair them for you, or you got decent stuff. Here's their number. It's 255-9406.
They take care of tractors. I got a tractor that needs some work. I should drive it over there.
Oh, so I'm sorry, Nicole. I'm sorry I brought that up. But, Lord have mercy, he'll be calling you. Well, Cindy Scandy won six graded stakes, including the Grade One Santa Anita Derby, won by over four lengths, defeating Looking at Lucky. Set a new track record, breaking his maiden as a two-year-old at Del Mar, going 5.5 furlongs, 102-3. Set a new record on the grass at Del Mar, 1/16, 139-3. Went a mile on the dirt to win the Grade Three Sir Beaufort Stakes and 133-3, missing the track record at Santa Anita by just a fifth of a second. He won Grade Two Stakes at Saratoga, and he earned over $104,000. Sidney Scandy, fast, personal, by Champion Miler Candy Ride, whose 2014 stud fee was $35,000. And he's out of Fair Exchange, a daughter of Stormcat, in the multiple Grade One winner exchange, winner more than $1,287,000. First falls with Sidney Scandy, a yearling. These are our three, two colts and a filly. And the Facey Tipton July sale. So go see him. He stands at Windstar Farm. Interviews with Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wolf. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Welcome.
All right, I'm talking to Finn Green. And Michael Blowen has made the scene also. Finn, you've got this company. How do we get people get in touch with you? You know, if they want to do some business with you, I can recommend you. You got a great horse pedigree, no doubt about that.
Oh, thanks, Ursel. I have a phone, which is 859-420-9958. That's the best way to get in touch with
you. Okay. You got a website or anything?
No, I don't have a website, Ursel. Not now. The people that I work for have a website. I'm 56. I've moved into quite a few things, but I hadn't set up a website.
Well, you better. You ought to get one where people can get in touch with you, don't get on my.
That's a great idea, Ursula. I'll take care of that. I'm headed to Ellis Park today, and when I get back, I'll start to work on that.
Okay. You're going down. I saw that your man had one in today.
Essie's training the horse. Josh is training by discreetly mine, I think, out of a Dixie Union mare that belongs to a man named Wade Wacker, who was in first race at Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Always need luck. You know, I mean, they told me to keep yourself in the best company and your horses in the worst, and you might have a good chance in this game.
Yeah, I knew I made a mistake. I did exactly the opposite.
You're not referring to this show, are you? You know, Michael, I don't know if you're a listener, but he's a regular, you know, he's on every week.
Oh, he's a real regular.
Well, I'm like the Gabby Hayes of this show.
Gabby is out.
Right there. No, I've been around Michael and always enjoyed being.
We hung around Midway. Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, we over when Mr. Moreno was developing Southern Equine.
That's right.
The old Parrish Hill farm.
Boy, it really looks nice. He's cleaned it all out in there. Boy, it looks like paradise.
Yeah, it's lovely. It really is. It's what a great piece of ground. There's some nice horses raised there.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Actually, I believe that Moreno came off of there, the son of Ghost Sapper. Yeah.
He goes today, I believe, in that stake up there. One of them, Brooklyn, I believe.
He does.
Not Brooklyn, the Suburban.
I remember him as a baby. I went and looked at those horses out there, and he was a fantastic looking weakling, probably the best looking Gosapper I had seen.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, he's a great looking horse.
Well, that's another one of the Adina Spring Stallions that's doing awfully well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's out of that, you go over there, let's see, is that the Primal Force? Is he a son of the good mare Primal Force, as is Macho Uno?
I don't know. Macho Uno.
Awesome Again is. No, there's another horse that they've got. Awesome Again and Macho Uno are both out of the same mare Primal Force.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. I knew that they were half right.
Yeah, that's right. And then so and they got those half right. They got some fantastic horses.
And some of those mares are just unbelievable. I was looking at our cemetery the other day. Criminal Type and Criminal Type and Escapade are the same mare.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm a mare man. Actually, I always have been. I mean, I love a good stallion, but I think that the foundation of our industry, and really, of course, I was raised on Green Tree, and they had anywhere in the upper 30s to low 40 number of mares. I believe in mares as factors. If you get a good mare, you can almost breed her to any horse and come up with a good horse. You got a higher strike rate with a good mare. And bring them to the right horse.
Yeah,
I'm a mare. I'm a filly and mare man.
Well, that's. I know that the best runners that came off of Dixiana with us came up from three mares. Mr. Mima, who was a champion 2-year-old filly, Matahara, who was a champion 2-year-old filly, and Farstar, who was a she won the Orange of Futurity beating Colts.
Mm-hmm.
The three of them. You know, and they were great producers, and their daughters were great producers.
Yeah.
That's where Spice Home and that bunch came
from. That's a great, exactly.
Yeah. And, of course, he was a pretty good kind of a stud horse himself. I grew up with a Spice Home. I grew up with all those horses I mentioned. First call I ever cleaned was Mr. Mima's.
Really?
Yeah, she was retired.
Now, that was Mary Fisher's Dixiana, was it?
Well, it was Charles T. Fisher.
Charles Fisher, yeah.
Charles T.
Yeah, and now Mr. Shadley.
Yeah, Mr. Shadley owns it.
Yeah, Mr. Shadley.
He split it up, most of it back together. Now, when I was raised on it, Ken, it extended all the way up to Ironworks Pike.
Right.
Yeah, all the way up to the Jotham Down
Store. Where the Jotham Down Store is, and then Henry White on Plum Lane was on the other corner.
Right, and well, of course, his dad's side was right behind the Jotham Down. You know, I mean, that's where. Henry started out there before he moved across the road.
That's right. That's right. He went to the other side.
Yeah. Just across the road. He didn't go as far as you did.
Not too far.
You went from Elmendorf to Green Tree, which is about 200 yards, across the creek.
Exactly, so right across Elkhorn Creek.
Henry didn't have to cross the creek.
It's dangerous crossing the creek, Herschel.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, it could be. It was a great, great childhood, an unbelievable life. I've had a great life in the horse business. Been around great horses, been around a lot of slow horses.
You know. Yeah, that's the most kind of I was affiliated with.
Yeah, you got to go through.
After I left Dixie, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, that's the way it goes. But it's been fun, you're right. You know, it's I don't think there's any industry in the world as much fun as this. I don't know what it would be.
No, it's the greatest game in the world. There's not a better game to me than the horse business. It's a difficult game. It's a very, very difficult game. I've been working with some people, talking to some people recently who are applying new ideas into the business, and they look at it different ways. Some really intelligent people who believe that the complexities of the thoroughbred industry, there's no industry that has more levels of complexity in it. Mm-hmm. Than the thoroughbred industry, and it's deceiving. A lot of people think this game's very, very easy.
Uh-huh. I haven't met any lately.
Well, I've been around some.
Well, you know, you can be tarnished that way a little bit. I know the first three horses I put in training, they all won. Bang, bang, bang. I said, geez, how long has this been going on?
What exactly?
And then I figured, well, the first time I went to the racetrack, I cashed a ticket.
I mean, that was deceiving too, wasn't it?
Yeah, you better believe it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's where it gets down to. And it's a situation. You get a good horse when you're a new owner. There's a lot more to learn after that.
That's one of the great things about California grown. You know, I identify more with the older people now, but I'm telling you, look how long they waited.
Exactly. You know,
it's just unbelievable.
Well, I had Charlie Lepresti on last
week. Oh, what a great horseman.
Yeah. Talking to Charlie, and I said, Charlie, how long did it take you to He said, get blessed with a horse like that. He said, about 40 years.
Exactly. I mean, what a great horseman. What a great horse. Now, there's a good man. There's another great man.
Yeah. You know? He just retired. Successful Dan, you know. He's turned out on the farm.
I had that last week, I think, or just recently. Yeah. And I'm glad that Charlie's gotten Wise Man back in the train. I see they're hoping to take him up to Saratoga. Maybe run him in the 4-star day or move him back later in the meet.
Yeah.
What a great horse. What a fantastic horse. What a great job that Mr. Fink and Charlie did.
Yeah. Boy, that was a blue hand producer for him.
Oh, man.
Well, he went just about $500 short of winning a million successfully.
Right, yeah. I think he was challenged sometimes, and Charlie managed those challenges very, very well.
Wasn't as sound as Wise.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And you get into a lot of that in our breed. I think there's a lot more of it now than there used to be. When, you know, I was a younger boy. I don't think we had as many deficiencies in horses that hadn't brought in. I bring the speed back into this so much. And we were focused more on letting the horses mature. You know, we were easier on them in some ways, but we always put the horse first. You know, I think that's a great characteristic of a horseman. They put the horse first. That's hard for a lot of people to accept.
Yeah,
but that's a key.
Yeah, we have them at the farm where we've had both. You know, we've got some really, you know, terrific horses that just got pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and never got any time off. You know, Rapid Redux is a great example of that. He wins 22 in a row. Now, he didn't win stakes race or anything else, but, you know, he got the Box Populi Award. It's the most popular horse in the United States the year before they gave it to Mucho Macho Man.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
And they, you know, and he just, you know, every 3 weeks he would go win a race, go win another one, go win another one, go win.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't have horses like that and be able to get to that area of competition with them. I think horses ought to be running more often than they're running now, but you got to pay attention to the individual.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you know, we are. Horses are just like we are. They're all different, and you got to pay attention to their differences.
Precisely. I think that's exactly right. You got horses that could run like that, and run like that, and run like that, and others that...
I know you're keeping up with it. Where's Mucho Macho Man going next?
Actually, Ursula, I don't know.
No,
I don't know. As I understand it, Mucho Macho Man is in Florida. And I really don't know. I read something the other day that said that he'd gone back into a white trainer.
He's 5-year-old
now. He's a 6-year-old.
Is he 6?
No, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic at 5. He was second in it at 4.
Okay.
You know, a great big lovely animal, and was challenged with, you know, in his 4-year-old year. He had hard winters, and would have some. We had some respiratory issues with him, and some other things that you had to just kind of pay attention to, pay particular attention to, because the horse would give you, like we were talking, 110% every time.
Well, Finn, I'm going to let you go if you're going to Ellis Park.
It's about 3 hours.
Nice trip.
Yeah, it'd be a great trip.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ursula. It was great to be with you.
Good to come back anytime, my friend.
Thanks.
Come back. We do business at the same old stand here every Saturday. So just stop by. And if you got something you want to get off your mind, come on by.
And the company you keep. I mean,
well, you know, it's kind of, you know, in spite of that, come on by.
I will. Thanks, Ursula.
Thank you. Great to see you. Good to see you, my friend.
I didn't see you, buddy. Good to see you.
Well, the first foals by Albertus Maxman from Gilead. Take a good look at them at the upcoming sales. We call the Albertus Maxman the true runner. Multiple Grade 1 stakes winner, over $1,328,000. He won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and Grade 1 Don Handicap in Gulfstream, also on the dirt. He also set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. Posted impressive wins at Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, placed in 3 more stakes, all 3 graded, among them the Grade 1 Goodwood. He is one of 6 Grade 1 stakes winners and 3 millionaires by the Grade 1 winner and millionaire Albert the Great, the most recent Moonshine Mullen, winner of the Grade 1 Stephen Foster up at Churchill on June 14th. Albertus Maximus and the Shadwell Farm, home also of De Hare, Interdam, Battle, and Bazaar. We had a good winter yesterday, incidentally, up in Belmont. For more on the Shadwell Stallions, contact Stallion Manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen. Made the cover of the local paper down there in Paris again. he's more popular down there than I don't know who.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. Always got a smile on his face.
Well, he's got that Rooster Brewery down there, you know, that he's got rolling, and he's having to try to get arrangements where he can get a truck to come in and have food, you know, to serve.
Yeah.
Barbecue truck.
He told me that the people from Red State Barbecue are going to be up there sometime soon.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's Ralph Quillen, Quillen Leather and Tack, largest custom halter shop in the United States. They ship out over 17,000 halters a year. And they repair all mine. I've got some old halters.
I bet you do. And boy, I can see the faces of those poor people when they bring those on. So you go, we have to repair this again?
I've got some brass nameplates on some of these halters that go back 20 years.
Collector's item.
Yeah, just about anyway. Great tack shop. Go see it. And go to his website at Quillen Leather and Tack. Well, Quillen, QUILLIN.com. It's Ralph Quillen, great guy. Wonderful people down there when you go into the tack shop. Sandy, Debbie. Just very helpful and very pleasant. It's fun to go in there. There's Quillen Leather and Tack in Perkins, Kentucky. You go in from the Lexington area, you just go straight towards, just down Main Street, go to the third stoplight, look to your left. There you are. You can't go wrong. Well, Scat Daddy has sired Grade 1 stakes winners in the USA, Europe, and in South America. He has sired 32 stakes winners, 21 of them have won graded stakes, and 8 have won Grade 1 or Group 1 stakes. There are 10 yearlings by Scat Daddy cataloged for the Fazy Tipton July sale, so take a good look. Scat Daddy stands at Kumo's Ashford Stud, and there are also the yearlings in the sale by Eclipse Award winner Kate Blanco, a son of the great Galileo. Dunkirk, a young son of Unbridled Song, and the sire of a Grade 1 winner in his first crop. 3 times champion sire John's Carplay. Number 1 freshman sire of Juvenile Winners last year, looking at Lucky. Majestic Warrior. So I have a Kentucky Oaks winner in his first crop. Running the multiple graded stakes winner by the top sire, Speed Spikes Down, Champion Sire, Taylor the Cat, and Eclipse Award winner, Uncle Mo. All those standing at Ashford Stud, and all with full duration, full season, sire graded stakes. For more on the stacks and more on the stacks, just call the farm at 859-873-7088. You can see the website, coolmore.com.
Come back.
Well, Michael, what are you doing with the...
Oh, this is great. I got this list.
Oh, you got a list?
Yeah.
Of what?
My good friend John Bradley, who's an unbelievable supporter of old friends, comes and does tours, does whatever he wants. He does a great job with the horses. What he did over the last few weeks is he's going through all the racetracks and making a list of all of our horses that won races at different racetracks. And the first one he did was Hollywood Park.
Okay.
So, we have 3 Swaps winners.
Okay.
3 Gold Cup winners. 5 California winners, which is Grade 1.
Yeah.
And 6 Mervyn LeRoy winners.
All Grade 1s.
Well, they're not all Grade 1s. I think the Mervyn LeRoy's not.
But sure.
Well, I'll double check here. Hold on a second. I just have to check my notes. Grade 2.
Grade 2. Oh, well.
But, you know, Precisionist, Flying Pigeon, Ruhlman, Prize. You know, Marquetry, Praise, Wicked North, The Afternoon Delights, Jerry, Tinner's Way, Early Pioneer, Kudos, Futuro, Dan Bluegrass, Man, Special Ring, Geronimo, Arson Squad, Racketeer, Medeo, Ball 4, and Rail Trip. I mean, they're all over the place. So, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And to see it all together like that is kind of mind-boggling.
What's going on out there?
Well, we've been very busy, thank goodness. People coming out to see these old guys and having a great old time. The Eldifer and his goats have been doing really well. Barbara Livingston's been posting pictures of Eldifer and his goats.
I saw the goat pictures, the one flying in the air. Yeah. Whatever he's doing goat-like.
Jumping up and down. Yeah. He's jumping up and down. So, yeah, Barbie was out for
So if you're big on retire your goats, you know where to go
no,
now.
No, please. He got special dispensation. The only horses that can come with goats is if they won Breeders' Cup. He won the Breeders' Cup Marathon. So if you want a Breeders' Cup race, you want to retire your horse with a goat farm.
That's getting pretty picky, isn't it?
Well, you know, we have our standards. Yes. I mean, it might not always be apparent, but we do have
they might be. Right.
Our flexible standards, I would say. Yeah, but yeah, everything's going really, really
well. I wanted
well.
To come out when Barbara Livingston was there, and what happened? Oh, you got your other eye fixed.
Oh, you go out, Ursula.
Oh, he's 20/20 now, both.
There's a secret. That's you know. It's
good. I still have to use my Walmart reading glasses.
Yeah,
but the fact these are jackets. You know, just for small type something like that. But I tell you what.
Well, that's great.
I tell you, what a good friend of mine said, but I can't say it on the air. But
oh, okay. Well, then.
Just stop by the clocker stand.
I'll tell you. That's pretty good.
They'll tell you. You get a special message.
But Herb Jones told me, I've been telling everybody about him.
Yeah.
Plagiarizing him a little bit.
There you go. So what's coming up next? What did I miss when I was helping clock?
Well, we got a lot of things coming up. We're going to do a big, people are going up to Saratoga for the sale. On August the 8th, we're doing a party at the Washington Inn to honor Sonny Taylor. Sonny Taylor's been a placing judge for the New York Racing Association for 50 years.
Ooh, okay.
And so we're having a little celebration for him and a fundraiser for old friends. The first Tuesday in August, we're having an open house at the old friends at Cabin Creek up there. So people
how
come by
far
and see
is that.
That
from Saratoga?
15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And so that's really good. And I know opening week in July at Saratoga, old friends at Cabin Creek is having a big fundraiser, a fancy one at the Polo.
Oh, nice.
Fancier than the ones I go to.
You'll have to rent some clothing.
Well, I'm not going up there.
Let me ask you this. What do they need placing judges for anymore when they got cameras?
I don't know. Last Sunday.
They do.
I will. Somebody's got to make a decision. I'm telling you, I sit at that simulcast and they look at those photos and they argue about who's first and who's second.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Depending on what they bet on.
Yeah. That's funny, isn't it? I love to watch people screaming at the TVs. Come on, let's go. Ride that horse. How'd you get stuck inside? Holy mackerel.
I remember the Keenan went on the placing judges. You were right down on the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was no photos at that time, you know. And in the 1937 Futurity.
I remember it well.
Okay. Well, I don't. But anyway, Dixiana had a horse in there named Allegro. We've got a beautiful color picture of him at home. He was a son of high time. And anyway, he got beat. According to the placing judges, Johnstown, who the next year won the Derby, you know. And, but anyway, somebody had taken a picture of the finish and he brought it out to the farm and it showed Allegro, you know, ahead by about a head, you know. And my dad to this day, of course, you know, somewhere, he might have been standing where the angle was bad.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But it makes for a good story.
Yeah, really.
My dad on his deathbed swore that Allegro won the Futurity beating Johnson.
So some of those things will stick in your crop forever, won't they?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what Sonny does, and he's got a really interesting spot right on the finish line, overlooking the finish line at Saratoga. It's really amazing.
That's nice.
And then of course he looks at the photos, and until he presses the button, it's not official. So when Sonny presses the button, then it's official. You can go get your money or tear up your tickets.
There you go.
We ran once at Churchill Downs. It was hotter than you can imagine. And all of a sudden, everything had to come to a big stop. The placing judge, it was so hot in that can they put him up in, he passed out. And they had to drag him out there. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Back there about to die. Yeah. Betsy went with us. Did both kids, Betsy and Patrick, I don't know, the kids went with us. We'll take him to a movie or something. This is killing. It was hotter than
it was just Betsy because you all went to see Big.
Oh, okay. Is that what it was? Yeah, yeah. I had to get out of the heat, man.
I remember that.
Yeah.
The horse didn't run very well either.
He got hot too. You didn't have to worry about the place. He should be alive.
Yeah, he got outrun.
Yeah.
Didn't get tired, but he got outrun.
Now, when are you going to Saratoga?
August 1st, I think.
Oh, okay. How long are you staying?
I don't have
10 days.
You have to call us.
Oh, yeah. I'll be glad. This is going to be fun. Well, this is really cool. So on August the 8th, we're having our – August the 8th is the Hall of Fame induction. That's right.
All right.
And then August the 8th, that evening, early in the evening, we're having our get-together at the Washington Inn.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're having a big party for the Hall of Fame at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, nice.
That's when you have to pay for it, of course. Then
put on a waiter suit. You can do this.
That's it. I could do that.
And go and get a tray.
Well, believe me, we won't talk about my days as a waiter. And then on Saturday, the Hall of Fame, there's Rick Capone, who's a sports editor at the Woodford Sun, has written a book about the history of old France.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to let us do a book signing at the Hall of Fame the day after the Hall of Fame induction on that Saturday.
Oh, that's good.
At least it's Saturday the Whitney. No, Whitney's on the 2nd. It's a big stakes race. You know, they have big stakes race.
Is that next week or
no? No, August 8th is the August party, and August 9th is the first time. Yeah.
But they open in July. Are they opening earlier than they used to?
Usually they go up until the first week in September, but this year I think Labor Day is on the 1st of September or something. So they're closing the end of August.
Okay. It seemed to me like years ago it was always August.
It was. It used to be 4 weeks. I liked it better.
Yeah.
Now they've stretched it to, I don't know, seven? Six
or
seven.
Well, they got all those New York bred races. They got to cram in there.
Yeah. But Steve Moon is going to do the Saratoga sheet, so he's...
Oh, good.
He's taking a vacation now.
Good. Yeah. I'll need him. Need all the help I can get, especially since somebody's good at Steve.
Let me catch up here. And I'm behind as usual. The Spencer stands. Arch, arch, arch. In the midst of line of David, Malibu Moon, Patio Prado, Tisway, Tis Wonderful, Warriors Award, and Wilburn. They all were well represented at the Fazy Tipton Kentucky July sale. In the Mischief, Malibu Moon, and Tis Wonderful are established sires, proven sires, or superior graded stakes. The first foals by War is awarded 2-year-old, and his first four starters have won. All won their first start, all won maiden special, all won at major tracks, and two have already placed in stakes. The first foals by Arch, 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 line of David, Patio, Prado, Tisway, and Wilburn are yearly. Arch, Arch, Arch is a grade one stakes winner by Arch, a major source of stamina in North America. He is the only son of Arch to win stakes at both 2 and 3. Line of David is a grade one winner from the famed Stormcat line and from the female family of Mr. Prospector. Patio Prado is a grade one winner. He's a millionaire. He placed in the Kentucky Derby. He's by El Prado, the sire of last year's leading sire, Kenneth Joy, also the sire of Medallion Duels. Tisway is a multiple grade one stakes winner. He earned over $1,359,000. Run a mile in 1:32.4 on dirt. And he's by Hall of Famer Tisnap. Wilburn is a great stakes winner by the wildly popular Bernardini from a superb female family. Take a good look and keep in mind that the Spencer sires with foals and racing aid have already proven their ability to sire runners. For more on the Spencer stand, call Ken Wilkins, Dave Dempsey, or Mark Tuthacker at 859-294-0030. See the website, SpencerFarm.com. We had Dr. Steve Alday on the show last. He was fun to talk to.
Steve's great. He's helped us an awful lot.
Yeah, he's a racetrack vet, and boy, he's treated some of the top horses in the country. And he's developed both Lubricine and Reborn, two products that I happen to believe in. I'm a regular taker of Lubricine, so is Jackie. And
grape flavor.
Grape flavor.
I like the regular.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's all right.
You're weird.
I started on the regular, I stayed with the regular.
But you know, they say if you take that long enough, you start to whinny.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I can only hope. Rather whinny than whiny.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, anyway, they're both all natural and test free and lubricine. To put it simply, it sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and it helps reduce the need for. Acid injections and so forth. And then for us older folks, it helps us get around a whole lot. I know because we use it and it's awfully good. Trainers that use Lubricine on their horses on a regular basis include the likes of Tom Fletcher, Tony Dutrell, and Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, and I mentioned a few. And far as Reborn goes, well, Charlie LaFresche ran Wise Dan on. He puts us in It's, what it does, it builds up the immune system in horses. It's a full, 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. And it's safe, it's easy to use, it's a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. Starts with foals, incidentally. But it's good for horses of all ages. Witness Wise Dan's performance, you know. He's 7 years old, and something's kept him going pretty good.
Now, between Charlie and Lupercin and Reborn, I guess.
There you are.
What an amazing animal.
Yeah, it's exactly. Anyway, so.
Gorgeous, too.
It supports immune function of horses of all ages, so it provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges, and that's Reborn. Let me give you how you get in touch with these people. Lubricin is LUBRISYN.com, so you go to their website. Reborn is REBORNE.com. Or you can go out to old friends and get them. I go to the KBC in Lexington, or Horse Sense Down in for sales. That's Lubricin and Reborn, two products that I happen to endorse. Well, the cover of this year's Fazy Tipton July sale features the brilliant Grade 1 Stakes winner, Rosalind. She goes today, incidentally, in New York. Rosalind is the daughter of Broken Pound. If you want a cover horse in your racing stable, take a good look at the Broken Valley Yearlings at the upcoming sale. You can start with hip number 253 at Fazy Tipton July, consigned by Mill Ridge Sales Agent. This is a filly. She's a half-sister to Cohiba Miss, and she's the dam of Lady Cohiba, and Lady Cohiba also is by Broken Vow. She's earned over $331,000 now, so you've got some action going for you now. Now, cover horse Rosalind has earned over $600,000 today. She won this year Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland Stakes. Broken Vow is the leading son of Unbridled Stud, standard Pin Oak Stud. Other Pin Oak stands with the youngsters in the Basic Tipton July sale. That is Cowboy Cow. He's a multiple greatest stakes winner and millionaire by the champion sire Giants Causeway. Now, Cowboy Cow's first foal to 3-year-olds. He's a sire of 5 stakes horses, including a Group 2 stakes winner in his first crop. For more on the stands at Pin Oak, just call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens. Here's their number. It's an 859 number. 873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Whoops.
I got some telephone calls on.
Alrighty. Michael?
Well, we moved 19 horses from Midway, from Knuckles Farm, over to Old Friends this week.
Oh my goodness.
It's wild.
New.
And Fred and Charles Knuckles and the whole gang of their Knuckles Farm took great care of these horses for the time that we need them to hold up while we raised the money for the fence and got them next door. And they did a great job and brought them over 2-3 at a time and did all 19 in one day.
Now, what kind of barns you got on the new property?
We got hay barns.
Yeah. Hay barns. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're outside.
Yeah, they're outside.
That's good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very good.
Yeah, we always kept ours outside. I remember one really cold winter, we had this gray horse, and we went outside, and he had frost on every hair. He was fine. He was great.
Yeah, he's fine. Well, you know, our good friend Dr. Byers' rule of thumb was every day a horse spends in the stalls, a day off his life expectancy. And he told me that when we first started this. He said, you keep those horses out there. And really, I still kick myself all the time because one night last winter when it was really cold, Marketry was out in that front paddock and the wind was blowing about 30 miles an hour. And I looked out there and he was just standing there and he looked miserable. I said, you know, I'm going to bring him in. So I bring him in, I put him in a big stall and out the next morning and apparently the wind was coming through and the snow was coming through and he broke his leg.
Oh my.
And I said,
probably got down, you reckon?
I think the wind was coming through and I think he got spooked and he kicked out. And kicked out and kicked the back of the stall. And you know, you get older and your bones are a little more brittle. You can't get away with that stuff.
I'm going to start sleeping outside.
Hey!
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, so now all the horses that haven't been on the tours, Diamond Stripes, and Tour the Cat, Cappuccino Kid, and all these other horses that have been over at Knuckles are now at the farm and available for viewing.
How many got there now at Go Friends?
91.
Oh, yeah, Bunga, that's a lot.
91 on 150 acres.
Well, that's
you count New York a lot.
No.
No.
Count just here.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
What do you mean? That's what we do for a living. That's what we're supposed to do. More the merrier.
Well, you better start hustling some hay, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we are. It's unbelievable. You should see our hay barns.
That's great.
You know, Matt Howard set a great example. People calling us up saying, look, I can only use 2/3 of this. You got some, you know, you got room? Yeah, we got room. We got these two big hay barns now.
We got
some round bales for the old guys in the back. We got night, you know, we got, hey, Tracy Highlander over at Highlander Feed. He called me the other day and he goes, look, we're baling some hay here in the field and, it's pretty good. A little alfalfa, Timothy. And he says, I'll tell you what, I'll knock 50 cents off a bale if we can just bring it by and put it in your barn. We don't have to bring it anyplace else. I said, come on over.
Yeah. That's nice.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that those two barns are absolutely filled to the top by the time winter comes along this year.
90 horses. Mm-hmm. Oh, 3/4 of a bale a day, or at least a half a bale a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
You better be fooled.
Yeah.
We just bought some. We buy ours from a fellow down in North Middletown, and he puts up good hay.
Right.
Great hay.
Well, if he's got any extra, you got his number?
Yeah, somewhere.
We pay, a lot.
He just put up 10,000 bales.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So,
that'll suit us.
You can go out to his farms and stand up by the big barn and look down, and you see over on a road, not very far, you see an old stable. And that was Bourbon King's barn down there. Bourbon King was, like, what? The foundation, practically, one of the foundation sires of the Sowbreds.
Huh.
Todd McFarland is the guy's name.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
I got his phone number, but
right. He's not going to give it to me, is he?
Listen, if you get it, don't mention us.
You're not the first person to say that.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, we just put up what we need, you know, because we just got 4 horses. To take to feed.
We're raising grass.
Yeah, we got plenty of grass. Well,
the grass has been so good this year.
We got four horses on 22 acres. That ought to hold.
Yeah, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should say. Well, they're all getting along. They all look good. We keep our fingers crossed, you know. But
yeah, that's great.
Had the horse dentist here this week. Barrier there a couple times this week. Things are moving right along. It's really nice. Really nice, and I just thank everybody that's been helping us all these years to provide space for all these horses. So it's really nice.
Yep, that's good.
I'm going to catch up here.
All right, I'm going to leave.
All right.
I'm going to go help with the tourism. I'm going to try and interfere with other people for a while.
There you go. Bother somebody.
Yeah, go bother somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Ursula. It's good seeing Finn and thanks for everything, and our best to Dr. Byers, and hope everything's going well. We'll keep our fingers crossed, and off we'll go.
All right.
Say hello Thank to you. Diane.
Well, awesome again. It's our 14 Grade 1 winners, 9 millionaires, 5 multimillionaires, 4 Breeders' Cup champions, a member of the Hall of Fame, and is the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, outside of the winners of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, that's Ghost Zappers. Horse of the Year, champion Older Male, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and elected in the Hall of Fame. Goosehead has lived up to his credentials and has, like his sire, gained elite status at stud. He has sired 6 Stakes winners already this year, headed by the Grade 1 winner Judy the Beauty and Molly Morgan, recent winner of the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis Stakes at Churchill Downs. He has sired a remarkable 14% Stakes winners from starter. Take a good look at the Goosehead yearlings at the upcoming sales, beginning with the 2 offered at the Crazy Tip in July sale. Goosehead is one of 4 Breeders' Cup Classic winners standing at Edina Springs. They'll be joined by a 5th in 2015, Mucho Macho Man, the son of the Edina Springs stallion, Macho Uno. For more on the stallions at Edina Springs, give them a call. 859-987-1798 and check the website at adinastallions.com.
If they have play, money. If they're free, free.
Well, there are 4 yearlings in the Crazy Tip in July sale by Majestic Perfection. A brilliant Grade 1 winner with blinding speed. He is his first foal for 2-year-olds. And they're coming out running. His first winner is free. He captured a maiden special Gulfstream on June 1 Then Homer Matt, in his very first start, placed in the $125,000 Santa Anita Juvenile Stakes. Two more finished second in their career debuts. Majestic Perfection won Grade 1 stakes at Saratoga, running 6 furlongs in 8 and 3. Won another stakes, going 6 furlongs in track record time, 107 and 1. Ran 3 quarters at Churchill in 108 and 1 and at Oaklawn in 108 and 3. Fewer is equal. In fact, he was never beaten on a fast track. Steve Asmussen described him as the fastest horse I've ever seen. The son of the top sire, Harlan's Holiday, Majestic Perfection, stands at Mr. Mrs. Burton's. He don't dare be stood. Watch for his yearlings at the major sales, and remember that your Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Where Jackie go? Keep trying to get that. Oh. All righty. Now, let me see. Let me catch up on some stuff here. First of all, I did not give anybody a list of winners trained at Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. And there were how many of them? I think I believe I wrote it down there somewhere. 8 of them so far, including a stakes winner. And let's see, we'll go with starting with so Stanley Inman.
Yeah.
Saddled a winner. So did Tommy Bergen. Tommy won down at Churchill with a filly named Forever Golden. Then he went to Mountaineer that same day. Boy, he had to travel fast to get saddle those two, didn't he? With Wasabi's House. So Tom won two on last Saturday, same day that Stanley Inman won one. And then on the 30th, Luis Corrado won another one. He's been on a roll here lately. Brian Michael won the $75,000 Firecracker Stakes. That's at Mountaineer, with La Malaguena, trained by an ex-jockey, a friend of mine named Alan Tannenbaum. And, congratulations, Brian, and congratulations, Alan. That's a nice win for you. And, let's see, Tanya Lobsinger had a winner at Mountaineer, so did, Jimmy Cargan had one at Belterra, and, so did, Donald Hunt yesterday.
We're so, arguing about
to pretty good week for the trainers out here at the Thoroughbred Center. We had 41 last month, 51 the month before. But that's, you know, you can't win them all. Now let's see what else we're going to do here. Of course, Steve Moody, as I said, is on vacation. He'll be back for the opening of Saratoga. And I'm going to do a little history. I'm going to look at some of the past suburban winners. They're running that up in New York today. Going to take a look at Busanda, incidentally, who was a dam of buck passion. And Suburban is a pretty old stake. 1884 was the first running of it. And Joe Palmer had something to write about Busanda, so we're going to get into that. Right, something else that we can do right now is... look at the breeders, the Kentucky breeds that won stakes in the last week or so. Well, it's starting the last week, but we had a few to win through the week. But let's go with that now. The Grade 1 Mother Goose, of course, that's at Belmont, went to Untappable. Bred by Winchell Thoroughbred, raised over at their Corinthian farm over on Russell Cave Road. And of course, Untappable is by Tappet, stands over at Gainesway. Declassify won the Grade 1 Triple Van Stakes at Santa Anita. It's won by Nose, bred by Gaines Gentry Farm over here on Ironworks Pike. The winner of the Grade 1 Gold Cup at Santa Anita, of course it's a continuance of the Hollywood Gold Cup, was Majestic Harbor. He's by Rockport Harbor, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, raised over Brandywine by Pam and Jim Robertson, and they raise more winners over stakes horses over there than I can count. The Firecracker, Grade 2, at Churchill Downs winner, went to Silver Max, that's a badge of silver, bred by Steve Snowden and Seth Lawford and Will Lawford. The Grade 3 Victory Ride Stakes at, Belmont Park, Street Story won that. Street Cry, bred by John Oxley. The Senorita Grade 3 at Santa Anita winner. She's a smoke show, bred by Butch Rice. That's a Wilco. Can't remember where he stands. The Prairie Meadows Cornhusker Handicap. It's a grade 3 race. Went to Carr, a 4-year-old by First Samurai, bred by Clavin Farm, and Adele Dillsnyder. Of course, raised over at Clavin Farm, where First Samurai stands. And also that day, a filly named Size, a 3-year-old filly by First Samurai, bred by Clavin Farm and Adele Dillsnyder, won the $200,000 Iowa Oaks, and that's grade 3. So that's, she went in from Belmont to win her race. Carb had won at Churchill Downs, so they shipped in and took all the money. The Dominion Day Stakes, grade 3, Ed Woodbine went to Sky Captain, Sky Mesa, bred by Three Chimneys Farm, and Serengeti Stable. The Bashford Manor, grade 3, down at Churchill Downs, with 3-year-old Cinco Charlie, an Indian Charlie, who of course, he's gone now, but stood over there every study. He was bred, Cinco Charlie was bred by Candyland Farm. Mr. Prospect of Texas Mama Park, a 9-year-old horseback named Cherokee Artist won that. Bred by J. Mack Robinson, 9 years old. And still had it. The My Dear Stakes up at Woodbine winner was, a horse named Unhindered. Bred by Stormy Lang, bred by Bill Betts, Nines Enough, Peter LaMantia, and Dr. Chuck Kidder, raised over Bill Betts' farm. The Manila Stakes at Belmont Park winner, Cab Old Cat, bred by Lee Lewis, that's a kitten still one. The Lighthouse Stakes at Mount Park winner, Majestic River, by A.P. Indy, bred by Bryland Farm, Robert Mitchell, and Stacy Mitchell. The Canada Day Stakes in Western Canada, Go-Go Lobo won that. That's the mare. She is 6. She's by Awesome Again, bred by Richland Hills. The Kennesaw Shelby County Boys and Girls Club Stakes in the Indiana Downs. It's a $100,000 pot. Won by a 4-year-old colt by Dynaformer, bred by Wertheimer and Freer, and raised right up here at the Hagen Farm. The Centaur Stakes at Indiana went to General Jack. This is a $200,000 stakes up at Indiana Downs. And General Jack is, a 3-year-old colt used by Giants Causeway, and of course stands over at Harry Stud. At Ashford Stud. That's Coolmore's Ashford Stud. And this one bred by Lawrence Scorcher. Giants Causeway has stopped the silence twice. The American Flag Stakes at Los Alamitos. Yesterday on July 4th, Sky King had won that. That's an Empire Maker bred by Jim Fitzgerald. And the Oak Tree Sprint Stakes at Oak Tree. Also yesterday, Streamside won that by E. Dubai, bred by Bill Bowen, Speech Partnership, and Hirschland Farm, Alfred Duffel. So that does it for the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners. That's the compliments of the KTA and my good friend David Schweitzer. Well, Carr, 4-year-old son of First Samurai, and Size, a 3-year-old filly by First Samurai, shipped in. To capture the two big races at Prairie Meadows last Saturday, both were bred by Clavin Farm and Adele Dillsnyder. Carr, trained by Brett Cox, won his previous start on May 15th at Churchill, and he's winning the grade 3 $300,000 Cornhusker. Raised his earnings to over $562,000. He previously had placed in the grade 1 Arkansas Derby, the grade 3 Oakland Handicap, the grade 3 Oklahoma Derby, and the Long Branch Stakes at Montage, and the $200,000 Zia Park Derby. Size, trained by Bill Mott, has posted 3 wins in a second and 4 starts. She won her first 2 starts at Gulfstream and at Aqueduct, ran second in the Jersey Girls Stakes at Belmont on May 25. Then she won the grade 3 $200,000 Iowa Oaks. First Samuel is also the sire of 5 other 2014 stakes winners, including Last Gunfighter. He goes in the graded stakes today up in New York. He's already earned over $1,140,000. Grade 1 winner Lee, she's won Grade 1 Stakes this year. And Apropos, winner of Oakland's American Beauty Stakes, placed in Grade 1 Stakes. And Northern Passion, winner July 1, and the $100,000 Sweetbriar 2 Stakes at Woodbine. So, of course, first Sammy Rye stands at Claiborne Farm, and for more on the Claiborne staff, get in touch with Bernie Sams. Bernie's number is 859-252-4252 and see the website at claiborneFarm.com. Want to talk about my good friend Hill Parker and his lovely bride Reagan. And they operate a real estate agency, have so for the last 12 years right here in Lexington. They're residents of Lexington. But they're real horse people, and they know how to help real horse people because being experienced in the horse business, if you're looking for a farm, they know just what you need, and they'll find the just right spot for you, and they always have great listings. They can get you just the perfect farm for you at the perfect price. So, and they've got listings in all of the counties around here, Fayette, Bourbon, Jasmine, Woodson, Scott, Clark, outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and prices. Now, they've been in the real estate business for over 12 years. And of course, Hill is an experienced horseman, and they've got great listings, as I said. He's a licensed trainer, A-level pony clubber, as far as that goes. So, you get to be an A-level pony clubber, man, that's, you're getting right up to Olympic ability, you know. Let's see, they've got a place over in Winchester that's gorgeous, 1,800 acres over there. And it's got a place over on the Russell Cave, a great location, just a couple miles close to the horse park, and 20 acres with a lovely house on it. They sold the place on Clay Kaiser, right up the street from us. Street, it's a pipe. They've got a nice place over on Yarnelton for sale. And old place close to us on Hawkins Cummins, 75 acres, 33 stalls, 2 barns. It's a great location in horse country right over there. And they can really, really do a good job for you. Nice people to do business with, people you can trust. Here's how you get in touch with them. You go to their website, first of all, LexHorseFarms.com. Or you can give them a call to Lexington number 859-608-8039. Well, Sprightstown ranked second only to Tappet on the 2014 sire list. Last year ranked second only to Kitten's Joy. Country Day is a multiple stakes winner of over $500,000. He's by Sprightstown. And he stands at Pulp of Plains Crestwood Farm. His first foals arrived this year near knockouts. And while in Kentucky for the Fazy Tipton July sales, why don't you, you're invited to, as a matter of fact, go over to Crestwood Farm to inspect Country Day and the other Crestwood stands. That would be Bullet Train, Channel, General Quarters, Get Stormy, Mutata, No Biz Like Showbiz, Taste of Paradise, and Tis Deja Vu. And while you're there visiting, be sure to inquire about the many services available at Crestwood. It's a great place to board. It's family operated. They treat their clients like family. Most of the clients have been with them for years. They offer sales prep and consignments to major sales and represent your sales. They'll give appraisal, confirmation analysis, and a whole lot more. And because it's family operated, the management is on the premises 24/7. And of course, the vets on call the same. So stop by for a visit. Just call the farm at 859-252-3770. And see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Well, I'm about to catch up. Running a little tardy today. Well, we got on the air a little bit late today. But Mary Jane got us on. I don't know what you had to do down there, but she pushed the right button anyway at the right time. So thank you, Mary Jane. Appreciate it. Yeah. And let's see. Well, let's take a look at some of these suburban winners from days of yore. I was first run in 1884 and a horse named General Monroe won it. He was a 6-year-old when he won, as a matter of fact, in 1884. And didn't show much until he was 5, as a matter of fact. He won only 6 of his 59 starts. As a 5-year-old, he won 7 of his 23 starts, including the Saratoga Cup. And at 6, he won 9 of his 23 starts. And the Westchester and the Suburban. The latter by a neck over a field of 20. He trained on for several more years until he was killed in an accident in Brighton. The next year, a horse named Pyatt was imported in utero, 1880, by Pierre Lorelei, who raced under the name of Rancoco Stables. Said it was beautiful, according to Walter Bosberg, writing about it. Said it was a beautiful black colt. Sent to England as a yearling and trained by Tom Carn. Over there with little or no success, returned to this country in 1884. He was then a three-year-old, and ran a few more, but this still didn't show much. Then 1885, at five, he started to show some speed, got into the Suburban with 102 pounds and won in a can. He went on to win 8 races that year, and no horse could beat him at 6 furlongs, as a matter of fact. Went to stud inside the winner of the Suburban in 1894, that would have been a horse named Ramapo. Ramapo, let's see, it was 1894 he won. Ramapo did. Anyway, he also won the Metropolitan that year. And so to come around, kind of like his daddy, once takes late in 3-year-old season. And as a 4-year-old, he was the best of his division, won 6 of his 9 starts. Went on to take the to England and did very well there, racing and as a stud. Went to stud over there and was a pretty good kind of stud. 1897 winner was a horse we've all heard of, the Ben Brush. He was a 4-year-old. He was by Bramble. Bosberg said he was very small. He was a bay colt with a star. Despite his lack of size, was one of the best racers of his era. As a 2-year-old in October, he liked a good beat any 3-year-old that season. Been 45 times during his career, 125 of them. Very successful at stud. He was the sire of Sweet, who also, incidentally, was small and passed that on. For instance, the Dam of War Admiral was by Sweet when she was not even 15 hands. It's like 14-3. He sat Broomstick, and Ben Brush topped the sire list in 1909. The 1913 winner of the Suburban was Crispin II, who was by Broomstick. And he was bred by Mr. H.P. Whitney, who owned this property that we're sitting on right now, doing this show right now. They sent Wishbone over to England, and as a 2-year-old, won the Prince of Wales Stakes, and was second to Lindbergh in both the Middle Park Stakes and the Dewhurst Stakes. At 3 over there, he won the Select at Newmarket, and he ran second in the Craven, and third in the 2000 Kings. That's a mile race, of course. At 4, he won twice, and at 5, he won the Victoria Cup. And the handicappers were getting to him that time, so he came back to the USA. Yeah, didn't carry too much weight over there, I guess. Came back to the USA in the spring of 1913, and less than 3 weeks later, he won the Metropolitan under top weight of 126 pounds. So they too. Then he won the Brooklyn under 130, giving the second horse 24 pounds. And for the Suburban, he was given 139 pounds, and he gave 27 pounds to the second horse and 20 pounds to the third horse. And he got hurt at Saratoga a little bit after that. Of course, the stud ranked well up on the sire list 4 times. He was 3rd on the sire list in 1927 and in 1928. Sire Brothers, this year, he won the Kentucky Derby. Sire Victorian won the Preakness. The Victorian was the sire of Cruiser Horton and Eagle, I recall. Whispering was the sire of Diablo, won the Jockey Club Gold Club in Saratoga Cup, and 3rd in Belmont. Zyber Upset to Big Man of War and the Samson Stakes. Upset was a pretty good sire. John P. Greer was a very good sire, and he was the sire of him also. He won the Aqueduct Handicap and Queens County Handicap and Edgemere and 3 more stakes. And John P. Greer was the sire of Boojum, who was a pretty good stud horse. I think he's still over there. Still on a whipping ball. Chico, who was a 2-year-old champion of this year. The sire of Atlantis, who was a good mare. Jack High, who was a good stud horse. Good mare, sire Dedicate. Bounding Home, won the Belmont Bowl, won the Preakness. Filly named Watermill, I think she won the Acorn. Royal Governor, Red Shoes.
Yes,
in Holt, and he was the broodmare sire, Whispering of very, very good son of a balladeer named Double J, who was a leading sireman at Craven Farm and Seabiscuit, who, of course, was a champion handicap. Leonard Atkinson had just joined the show here. Just wandered in. Well, opportunities are going to arise at the important yearling sale for you to consider Yahtzee by first defense and vision mask. Keep in mind that both of the aptly demonstrated their ability to desire major stakes winners, both in North America and abroad. The first defense did so with his first trot to registrations in green chili clothes hatches and won four grade one stakes in the good four finalists in 2013. And she's in a leading contender for her good four again this year. And Dundonnell won group stakes in Great Britain, and in his only start in USA, he ran an accredited fourth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Had a rough trip, but he still finished a game fourth for the 4-0 brother out of a field four game that day. Mizzen Mass, of course, is our 6-1 grade one stakes winner, and is highly respected in Europe when his killer was named champion 2-year-old filly after winning the grade one Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly's Turf. Came back in 3 in 2013 and ran a classic group one, a French 1000 guinea. And the bottom line is that first defense of this last hour month of the highest one. They stand at Judmont Farm. Make sure to get a rooker and try it. See the website at judmont.com. The runners raised on Macaulay products won 8 stakes this past week. Good Lord, that much. 4 were graded and 2 were grade one. The grade one Mother Goose was won by Untappable from one breeder Winchell Thoroughbred. The grade one Gold Cup from Santa Anita was a majestic farmer, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm and raised in Brandywine. The winner of the grade two San Juan Capistrano, that would be Big Kid, was a folding cattle, but he was raised in Kentucky. Guy's breeder at the end, hanging herself in one last grade one, and they said, trying to get up on the sky. Kevin, bred by Three Chimneys Farm and Serengeti Stable. My Zero Stakes, also bred by Winchell Thoroughbred, bred by Bill Betts. Nines and Ups, Peter Lamantia, and Dr. and Chuck Kidder, and raised at the Betts Farm. The Lieutenant Governor's Handicap, also in Canada, was won by Mr. Bowen, read by Brett C. Jones. The $100,000 J. Hennett Self-Jones County Board of Girl Club State. $100,000 product for Indiana Downs, Quiet Force won it, raised at Hagen Farm, for Wertheimer and Three. And through the first 6 months of 2004, horses raised on Macaulay products have won 97 stakes, 57 of the greatest stakes, 12 grade one. Record speaks for itself. Call Mike Warren and David Longmire, 859-873-3333. See the website at MacaulayBros.com. You're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Precision. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form is on the newsstand right now. John Sparkman's got a good article in there about the Brush and Groom line and his descendants. And very interesting. Mary Simon, and she's a brilliant writer, one of my favorites. She's writing about Giovanni, of course, two or three time Eclipse Award winner. Anyway, stands over Castleton Lions. You got past performances of Belmont, Thistledown, Mammoth, Goldstream, Ellis, Woodbine, Arlington Park, Belterra, Canterbury. Joe Loveday is writing about the Las Alamitas opener. A very interesting edition now. The Data Racing Form Breeding Edition is, you can go to that website. Go to drf.com/breeding today and, you can go there and pick up information all through the week about breeding. A young sire profile for Dallin and the breeder of the week, the broodmare of the week. There's a program of pedigree handicapping columns, road to the, you know, just it's a great paper, and I couldn't do without it. It's a Daily Racing Form, and so make sure you pick up your copy. You can get them wherever the they're running, of course, at the newsstands around town. Down in Paris, we get out at the BP station on Main Street. Jackie, you got time to do some announcements.
Oh, yeah. Just a second. Let me grab my little announcement book and grab my reading.
That's good. I can rest my confidence.
Yes, that's a good idea. I bought you some of those...
Oh, good.
Pretzel stuffed with peanut butter.
Oh, they are good.
That's awfully good.
Quite Holly.
Okay, Holly's got one. Yeah, I got them. I distributed all the donuts. Okay, July 9th, that's coming up. Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club members, it's a pig roast potluck at Gaines Way at 5:30. The price of admission is a favorite side or dessert to share. Please bring chairs. And, oh, this is chair and adult beverages. That means folding chair and beer and your own folding chairs. What that means?
Bring your own beer and folding
chair. Oh, yes. You need RSVP info at KTFMC by July the 2nd, I'm sure, if you went ahead and did that. They'd probably let you in. Let's see. The 14th of this month, Phasic Tipton July sale starts. The 29th of July is the regular farm managers meeting. It's at the Red Mile, so you need to call up, make reservations for that. Also, this is a little early, but September 14th is the Jane Bashir does Horses and Hope ride at the Kentucky Horse Park. It's on Sunday, September 14th. Great cause. All proceeds go towards cancer screenings and awareness and all that good stuff. So, that's what you need to mark in your calendars. There'll be registration forms coming out in a few weeks. It's a nice thing. Lots of people show up and you got the whole, horse park to ride in. That doesn't happen all that often. Horse Aid Live is a combined test and dressage show presented by Tandem Oral. It's got something to do with teeth. It's Saturday, August 2nd. It's at Masterson, which is, of course, out in Leestown Road. It is MSCDA and KDA sanctions. It's a fun schooling show. Coats and braiding are not required. Bring out a young horse or a greenie and just go out and ride and have a good time. They've got, let's see, a Western dressage class coming up too. So if you need to have more information, what you do is Google Masterson Station Park or Masterson Foundation and get some more information there. Having, let's see, 10 dressage classes, and it's $25 a class, and 6 combined tests. So that's jumping and going cross country, so it's or whatever.
Michael carried off my Saturday form.
He did? That's the Sunday.
Yep.
Oh.
Come back.
Okay, let me see what this is. Wednesday, let me see here. I know what's going on out there. I was trying to come up with what's going on at the horse park. I know Champagne Run's coming up. Briar Fest is coming up. I ought to take Betsy to that. She's got some briar horses. The briars, of course, are the little plastic horses. They're not that little. Some of them are, 8-10 inches tall, but they're real well done.
Stepsister has 10,000 of them.
What?
Stepsister probably has about 5,000
of them.
She collects them.
Yeah, people that collect them. Russ said his stepsister has about 10,000. Well, Nori Scheffel, he's got Scheffel Ridge Farm out here in Bourbon County. She built a ledge around her room up high, lit, so she could put her collection, her briar collection, on display. Built the whole house around her briar collection.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're not kidding. These briar people are kind of crazy. Wednesday, July 23rd through Sunday, July 27th is Kentucky Summer One Horse Show, 5-day 100 jumper show. It's a two-part series. Headlining this event, $25,000 Haggard Lexington Classic. It's the third event in their challenge series. USEF, that's the United States Equestrian Federation Show Jumping Talent Search, and the ASPCA Mac Clay, they're doing it now. Oh, I guess to get ready for the big one in the winter. Okay. If I'm wrong, somebody email me, JackiePostTime@AOL.com. Now, coming up right now this weekend is the Robert Murphy Stables Hunter Jumper Complex, Robert Murphy Hunter Jumper Show. It's a 4-day event. Goes through today, tomorrow. 250 horses. This is a big one. I know Joyce Brinsfield, one of her students, won a whole lot, did real well. Now, also at Masterson, every Wednesday, they have summer bird dressage. Let's see. I can't remember what time it starts. It starts later in the afternoon. 4:30 till dark. You pay $10, show up, and you get judged and take your test home. No ribbons, good practice, and good feedback. So that's 4:30 until dark at the dressage ring all summer through, I know it's all the way through July, but that's at Masterson, too. Lakeside Arena, what's today's date? July. Well, the next thing they've got coming up, oh, this is fun, July 16th through the 20th. You don't have anything. If you feel lonesome, they're having the Bureau of Land Management Horse and Burro Adoption. You want one?
No.
Oh, okay, that's all. And the week after that, 25th to 27th, Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show, and I'll bring you more later.
Well, the first rules by Albertus Maximus of Europe. Take a good look at them at the upcoming sales because Albertus Maximus was a flat runner, a multiple grade one stakes winner of over $1,328,000. He won the grade one $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the grade one Don Handicap of Gulfstream also on the dirt. He also set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sands Handicap of Del Mar, posted impressive wins at Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, and placing three more stakes, all three graded, including the grade one Goodwood, and I'm pretty sure that's on grass. He is one of six grade one stakes winners and three millionaires by the grade one winner and millionaire Albert the Great. Albert the Great's most recent winner, incidentally, is Moonshine Mullen, and winner of the grade one Stephen Foster Church of Downs on June 14th. Albertus Maximus stands at Shadwell Farm. That's the home also of De Hare, Interdap, Dazzle, and Invisor. We had a good winner yesterday in New York. For more on the Shadwell Stags, contact Stag Manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website, shadwellfarm.com.
Aww.
Is Max Frazier not here today?
Wow.
I got Peggy Fine when I'm ready.
Big Kick, winner last Sunday, the grade two, $200,000 San Juan Capistrano Stakes at Santa Anita, is another big horse by the Big Horse Sire. Tis now. Big Kick led throughout a mile and three quarter on the San Juan Capistrano, winning handily by 2¾ lengths. In his previous start, he run a mile and a quarter in 159-3 at Santa Anita, once again leading at every pole. Big Kick was bred by Adina Springs and sold as a weaning at Keeman in November. He's one of five 2014 stakes winners, four of the graded stakes winners by Tis Now, who currently ranks fourth on the North American sire list with earners of nearly $4.5 million. Tis Now has sired 12 grade one stakes winners, beginning with a 2-year-old champion in his very first grade race. He has lived up to his Hall of Fame status as a sire. Well, watch for yearlings by Tis Now to major sales, beginning with a Phasey Tipton July sale. He stands at Windstar Farm, in Greek, Darren Fox, Sean Toole, or Kyle Wilson. Here's their number, 859-873-1717. And see the website at windstarfarm.com. You got a couple more, Jackie?
Yes, sir. Yeah. The Kentucky National Horse Show this year is September 17th to the 21st, and I'm saying this because two national level Grand Prix, the Haggard Equine Medical Institute, the Betsy, that's for Betsy Fishback.
Yeah.
They have that. It's also the Prix de Lexington Show Jumping Hall of Fame Classes. The Midwest ASPCA McClay Regional Education Championships, and I guess that's how you qualify for the big one in the winter. $45,000 Midwest Young Jumper Championships, International Derby, all kind of stuff. This is a big deal. That's why I'm saying September and saying it now. Champagne Run, July. Champagne Run at the Horse Park Trial is July 11th. And that's coming up real quick. And like I said, Briar is coming up real quick. Start Light Racing has recently lost graded stakes winner Intense Holiday to Laminitis. Announced it will make sizable donations to two organizations, up to $100,000. Grayson Jockey Club Research, I think it's one of those matching grants, and the Association of Equine, American Association of Equine Practitioners. So that is, that's really putting money where it can help. Let's see, I'm sure who's on that board. Oh, that's over. That was on my birthday. I said Kentucky, yeah. Again, congratulations, Barbara Livingston. I just love her. She won the Englehart Award this year. This is Robert Murphy this weekend. Mid-America Miniature Horse Club Mini Julep Cup Show is going on this weekend. Everything's going on this weekend. They got a 4th of July thing going on at the campgrounds. Next weekend, 11th to the 13th, is Briarfest, running at the same time as Champagne Run Horse Troughs. You know they have a bigger, the biggest crowd they get all year is Briarfest. That's what it was. I guess it still is.
We probably would have done better.
Yeah, we would have. We'd be, had a lot more money if we had stuck to Briars. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to say, if you have tree damage or anything like that, call Arlington Tree Service. That they do a great job, and it's 293-0288. Hats off day for Kentucky is coming up July 29th. They are still taking hats. If you want to donate hats, they give away free hats till they run out. Admission's free to the horse park, so you get a free hat and you get in for free. So, and I wanted to say again, Sally Van will refurbish or whatever your trailers and all that stuff because they build their own. They know what they're doing. And they also work on diesels.
Well, the Spendthrift Stallions, Arch, 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 Intermission, Flying of David, Mount of the Moon, Cahill Proud, Chisway, Chiswonderful, Warriors of Warren, Wilburn, they're well represented at the face of Tipton, Kentucky, July sale. Intermission, Mount of the Moon, and Chiswonderful are established sires, of course. Proven sires are superior graded stakes winners. The first full is by Warriors Award, 2-year-olds. His first four starters all won their first starts, all won maiden specials and major tracks, and two have already placed in stakes. The first full is by Arch Arch Arch, Line of David, Patio, Prado, Chisway, and Wilburn, or yearlings. Arch 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 is a grade one stakes winner by Arch, a major source of stamina in North America. He is the only son of Arch to win stakes at both 2 and 3. Line of David is a grade one winner from the same Stormcat sire line and the female family of Mr. Prospect. Matty O'Prado is a grade one winner and millionaire. He placed in the Kentucky Derby. He's by O'Prado, sire also of leading sires Kitten's Joy and Medallia d'Oro. Chisway is a multiple grade one stakes winner, earned over $1,359,000, ran a mile in 1:32.4 in the dirt, and he's by Hall of Famer Tisnow. Wilburn, the greatest stakes winner by the wildly popular Bernardini from a superb female family. So take a good look. Keep in mind, the Spendthrift sires with foals of racing age have already proven their ability to sire run. For more on the stands at Spendthrift Farm, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Dennis Nipsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, I wanted to talk about one particular winner, the Suburban, and it was top race mare, Lusanna, incidentally. I don't know if I have time up to, I don't have time to read. I'll just talk about it a little bit here. She was a fool in 1947, but War Admiral had a business like the Blue Oxbow. The second dam was La Truane, who was buried right over here at what James Way Farm now on the Green Tree section, and imported by just
the Bradley,
and probably the best brood mare ever imported to this country. Busanda was was also businesslike, was by Blue Archbard. She was also the dam of auditing of the Sun Account fleet that won some stakes. And she was probably the best thing that she ran, of course, was running for, was Busanda. Busanda was a superior race mare, a late development. She won one race as a two-year-old, did play some mistakes, I think it was a slime mistake. As a three-year-old, she won the Alabama. And four-time second, she placed in the Delaware Oaks. And three-time third, including Coaches of American Oaks. At five, she won the Newcastle, she won the Suburban, she won the Saratoga Cup, and the Top Flight Handicap. And she placed in the Dangerfield Handicap in the Manhattan. At 5 years old, she won the Saratoga Cup again on the Diana Handicap and ran second in the Saratoga Handicap. She won 10 times, 5 time seconds, and 2 times third. Her first foal, they bred her to Polynesian, was a mare named Bureaucracy. It wasn't a mare, though. It was a colt. And he won the Dwyer. I don't know whatever happened to him. He won the Dwyer. And he won the Colt Division of the National Stag Stakes. Placed in a bunch of good stakes, including the Trapper. The second dam was by Naz Ruler. She didn't win, but she was the grand dam of
the
champion outstandingly. A third foal was by Naz Ruler, whose name was Management. He placed in stakes over the jumps. Then she had an Oak Cluster by Naz Ruler, who didn't win, but she was a stakes producer.
3 weeks ago.
Then she was Baron, and she had Controlling by Naz Ruler, who placed in stakes. Then she produced Booker by Double J, who won the Futurity, and the Hibiscus went to stud over at the Stallion Station. And, of course, in 1963, she produced the great Buck Passion, champion 2-year-old. Champion 3-year-old, champion handicap horse, champion everything, and a top sire. So she was a great race mare and a great producer, and she won the Suburban. Okay, winners from the Thoroughbred trained at the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Signed by Stanley Inman, Tom Bergen again, Luis Corrado, Brian Michael. Brian Michael signed the one, trained the winner of the 75,000 firecracker down in Mountain Deer. And congratulations, Brian. Tiny Little Lobseeker, Jimmy Cargan, and Donald Hunt. All the training stuff. Okay, well, we'll be on next week, same time, same station.
8 o'clock.
And we will talk to you next week.